Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Peter King is going to jump on board today. We will visit with the one and only Peter King from Sports Illustrated, the MMQB, on all things Cardinals. He was out at the Cardinals facility yesterday and today. God, that game was horrible on Friday night. Man alive, was that just dreadful. Like, I don't know if any of you decided to drive over to San Diego to watch that preseason slop, but Philip Rivers didn't play. Carson throws a pick. Eric, did you see any of the preseason game? I couldn't even bring myself.
No, I did not. I was out working a high school game. And am I really going to go back on a Saturday and rewatch a Cardinal preseason game
when
I saw the final score of 19-3?
I did. I mean, I'm dedicated to this.
You are. It is your job.
And it's my job.
It is sort of my job, but that was not a high-ranking priority. Now, Sunday's game, when they play the Texans, the all-important third preseason game,
I will
definitely watch that.
Here's what's happened through the years of doing this. So it used to be that preseason football felt much more important when there were 14 games. And people say, well, yeah, you're not 20 like me, so this is the greatest thing ever, and I just can't. I'm so jacked up. The preseason game is the best. And I'm like, really? It's low-grade dog food. That's what it is. And when I hear that Alex Okafor gets injured, you know, and he gets injured a bicep tear in a Tuesday workout with the Chargers, what a waste. Just what an absolute waste. The workforce of the NFL has got to make it through 5 months of games, okay? So you guys are putting your own workforce in harm's way. There's just nothing redeeming about it. But the third preseason game, oh, yeah, if they don't play well in the third preseason game, then it's going to be a bad year. It's going to just be horrible. Whatever. So there is some news on the Cardinals, though, that I think is interesting. I'll talk to Peter about this, and that's Tyrann Mathieu is back out on the field. And he's back out on the field early. By most people's accounts, it was, yeah, he's going to be back, and we're going to have him back in camp. But it's even before the third preseason game. We were talking to Kent Summers about this last week, and I didn't think even Kent felt like he'd be back that soon. This was Tyrann yesterday out of practice. And so you can check him out, and we'll talk to Peter King about that. Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. She will be with us at 10:35. We'll talk with Paula. She was in, for some reason, she was with the Diamondbacks all weekend in San Diego. She also went over to the Cardinals preseason game against the Chargers. There's been some stuff written about the Diamondbacks this weekend that I've really never seen in terms of incompetence and level of incompetence. Somebody called me this morning who's one of their, you know, he's somebody who's invested into the team in the way of sponsorship, and he was about as down as I've ever heard him. Just like, what do we do here with this? This thing's a train wreck. So we'll talk to Paula about that. But guys, look, let's be honest. Everything's about Ryan Lochte again today. Now, I'll do Peter here in 9 minutes. I'm sure even Peter, being a veteran guy of media, is looking at Ryan Lochte saying, okay, Manti Te'o was probably who comes closest to what Ryan Lochte has done here. Ryan Lochte this morning was fired by Ralph Lauren, was fired by Speedo this morning. Okay, he's gone. Ryan Lochte, his next step has got to be to go on The View wearing a pink sweater. Got to be. You got to start doing image rehab. He's already done the Today Show, and that didn't work out for him. He's got to go that route.
Well,
right?
He changed his hair color.
Change hair color.
He's no longer that grayish, blondish look. He's back to his more natural brown-haired look.
Further action, according to the USOC, today is going to come down on Ryan Lochte today and the teammates. And so as I was watching everything that happened over the weekend, I started going a little bit closer on this in the media side of things. So I'm teaching today. This is my first day teaching over at Arizona State tonight. We're going to talk about Lochte because wherever I've been over the weekend, people have wanted to get into, what do you think about what's gone on with Lochte? There's been some great stuff that NBC has done throughout these Olympics. Great coverage, groundbreaking, all sorts of things. And yet the way that they handled, Lochte is stunning to me. So it started last Sunday morning, the Lochte story did. Lochte's mother confirmed to Billy Bush of Access Hollywood fame, who's now become the host of the third hour of the Today Show. It's a pretty primo gig about the Billy, or that Ryan was gunpoint robbery. So then Bush says, come across the street. He tapes an interview on his phone with Lochte, but he didn't go into details with Lochte about it. So now Bush is hosting the third hour of this Today Show, and he's got Lochte. Here is that little snippet. This was the first interview. This was last week.
He lied. He lied to you.
Yeah.
He lied to Matt Lauer. Lied to his mom. He left his teammates hanging while he skedaddled.
He certainly lied about some details.
No, he lied. No, Billy.
Some details?
Billy,
not there was some no details. Robbery.
There was no robbery. There was no pullover. There was nothing. Nobody
there was no
cocked
gun
a gun to his head.
Hold on.
He lied.
Okay, calm down. Listen, if a security guard is standing in front of you with a badge and is asking for money and you don't speak Portuguese.
There was a translator.
Right.
Well, the swimmers, Jimmy Fegan said there wasn't. So there's a different story.
But if someone's saying, you'll give me money or you can't leave.
He lied. No.
Money unwillingly came out of his pocket.
He lied. They were knocked out. He said they were their car was hit.
That's not true. That's a lie. Gun to the head is a Dirty Harry moment is a lie. That didn't happen. They weren't sideswiped.
So he created all of these moments to make himself look like.
Okay.
I've stared them down in the face. It was, like you said, the Dirty Harry moment. I mean, come on.
You look at Mario Andrade, who's the...
Okay, so what we have there is Al Roker going crazy. And when Al goes crazy, it's usually over, hey, there's Grandma Smith, who's 109 years old, brought to you by Smuckers. It's kind of fun to see Al Roker all worked up. My point in this is Billy Bush didn't go after details. Then NBC News led three times with Lochte last Wednesday. Okay? Three times. Then they had Matt Lauer do a telephone interview with Lochte, who retold his story. Thursday morning is when Brazil said, we're not buying this. We're going to tear this story apart. Then you just saw what happened. That was Friday morning. So this story started Sunday before anybody at NBC really started to get their arms wrapped around it. Today's show had a follow-up from a correspondent who reported that Lochte, quote, stood up to these guys. That was a brave and dangerous thing to do. This was an NBC News correspondent. Stood up to the guys. My point is, if you're going to do all this stuff, and you've got a news side to it, be right, not first. Be right, not first. By Saturday night, they did a taped interview where Matt Lauer spoke with Lochte and said he had been intoxicated and had over-exaggerated that story. So this went six whole days. And it's embarrassing. If for NBC, as much good as they did in the Olympics, that's just embarrassing on the news. 6 days, let something run around like that. So that's on my mind today. And Lochte's losing sponsors. And what's going to happen next to him? The overall story of the Olympic Games is viewership among 18 to 34-year-olds was down 30%. Why is it that college-age kids, students, not kids, college-age students, young adults did not care about the Olympic Games? 30%, that's a huge, I got better things to do. Eric, was The Bachelorette in reruns during the Olympics? I mean, were they into The Bachelorette, do you think? Or
I don't know. I have not been keeping up with The Bachelorette. Of the audience. I'm sorry. I just haven't been keeping up
Bachelor, with it. Bachelor, was Bachelor in? So where would that 30% go? Go to Hulu? Would they go to
NFL
Netflix?
Preseason?
NFL, come on, NFL preseason. What are you, nuts?
No, but others are who love the NFL, even bad preseason games.
Yeah, I know. Devin Booker story. Do we have that Devin Booker thing? That was, this is again another bright, shining moment for our industry over the weekend. I'm just kind of ripping apart our industry from Lochte and then Devin Booker. So Devin Booker. It's Saturday night. I didn't see this in real time. You saw this in real time.
I did. I did. I was at home getting ready to go to bed, and we just had SportsCenter on, and I was fiddling around on my phone, and I looked down, looked up, looked down, thought to myself, wow, did they just really do that? Looked back up, and they definitely just did that. So
okay, so what they did that Eric's referring to is, look at this. That's Devin Booker, the Suns, the picture, okay? Devin Butler is who the story is about, who was arrested.
Notre Dame football player. Kicked off the team.
I mean, so how does this happen? And is there damage here? Absolutely there's damage here. Come on.
I guess ESPN did send something to the Suns as an apology for doing that. And we all have made mistakes in the industry. It's just that is such a glaringly big mistake, especially because Devin Booker is a rising star. He's not just a guy.
He's a great name. He's got a clean reputation. Yep. There's never been anything about Devin Booker that you look at and say, wow, okay, this kid's a great kid. Great kid. And he's probably out bumping around on a Saturday night, and his phone blows up with people saying, hey, man, just saw you on SportsCenter. Really? Why? Because there's a Notre Dame football player that got kicked off the team and arrested. What? Huh?
Yeah, by the name of Devin Butler.
Devin Butler. Booker, Butler. There's a producer somewhere that was watching Conor McGregor fight Nate Diaz and was kind of sort of maybe listening and kind of sort of maybe thought, oh, I thought it was Booker, not Butler. I've been there. I've seen it happen. Okay? I make mistakes too, but my industry, I've never done that. It's kind of like the times that they go on the air and say somebody's dead and they're still alive. Bad mistake. Peter King is next. We'll talk with Peter, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the Monday morning quarterback. He's over at Cardinals camp. Tyrann Mathieu is back on the field. What does this mean? How does Carson Palmer look? Bruce Arians' health and much more around the league. Peter was in L.A. Want to get a feel about the Rams and things in the NFC West. That's straight ahead with Peter King. I'm Brad Sussmann. Good Monday. The preseason for the Cardinals will continue on Sunday afternoon. They'll be in Houston taking on the Texans. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We'll have Peter King here momentarily, SI.com, senior NFL writer. And it'll be good to catch up with Peter because I need a break from Ryan Lochte. Every break I come back from, Ryan Lochte loses another sponsor. So it'll be nice to talk. In fact, now we'll do it. Peter King is with us, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the MMQB. It's been a while. How are you, Peter?
Brad, how's it going? I mean, you know what's great about being on the road going to all these camps?
Yeah.
You know, like the Ryan Lochte story, I vaguely know what it is, but I've watched about 6 minutes of the Olympics, and it came on an airplane that had NBC on it, and so I managed to see one of the Simone Biles routines, and I said, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I have not really seen much of the Olympics, but I don't know, I guess that's kind of a cause celeb.
Well, and I read that you put on Twitter, wherever you've been, the players have been talking about the Olympic Games. Are they talking about the games? Are they talking about Usain
Carson
Bolt?
Carson Palmer said to me yesterday, I am so ticked off, the Olympics are over. Yeah. I love them. He's a big volleyball fan. You know, being a Southern California guy where volleyball's huge. But so he said, I've loved it. And he said, now there's nothing on TV for the next 2 or 3 weeks. But there was a great scene the other night. I wrote about it today. There's a great scene. I was at the San Diego, Arizona game, and it was funny. We go into the San Diego locker room after the game, and that's the team I don't know well at all. I'm just not around him very much, you know, once a year max. And so I look over, and King Dunlop, the left tackle, has about four guys kind of clustered around him, and they're all looking at his phone. And it's obvious they're watching something on his phone. And I find out it's the Usain Bolt relay. And that he won another gold. And so that's what it's been like, honestly. It's like everybody has got a favorite. Johnny Hecker, the punter for the Rams, told me the other night that he just cannot believe what Simone Biles can do. And so it's been fun, you know, because a lot of athletes obviously like to watch other athletes.
Sure. Could Usain Bolt make it in the NFL? I know we've had the Ronaldo Nehemiah thing, Peter. Have you ever gone down that path with GMs about Bolt and his speed?
I've not asked anybody. I mean, I think, like, when Bob Hayes made the Dallas Cowboys,
yep.
that, and he ended up being in the hall, getting in the Hall of Fame. When Bob Hayes did that, basically, for those who don't know who Bob Hayes is or don't obviously don't recall it, you know, he was the fastest man alive in 1964. And the Cowboys got him. It's a great Gil Brandt story. And the Cowboys drafted him. And by the way, person who was drafted right next to Bob Hayes in that draft, I think it was 1960 now that I think of it. Person drafted right next to Bob Hayes, Bill Parcells.
Ah,
linebacker, Wichita State.
Good story. Good story.
Anyway, I don't. That's a great question, and I absolutely should ask it. And if I see Steve Keim today, I'll definitely ask him. Does it make any sense to even ask the question? I mean, I think my feeling is, at least Bob Hayes is from the United States, and he probably had played some football. But Usain Bolt. Football to him is played with a round ball that has black and white dots on it.
Sure, sure. And Ronaldo Nehemiah, we saw that trick, and that didn't really work out. Willie Gault, I mean, there's been guys, and I just see Bolt, and it's, wow, he's so good. All right, Peter King with us, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the MMQB. He is over at the Cardinals facility going through training camp. Bruce Arians' health, when you first heard that story, and I'm sure you've seen him eye to eye, what do you make out of that now a week later?
I mean, diverticulitis, it's not that it's that everybody gets it, but it's a fairly common thing, and it's treatable, and I wouldn't worry about it very much if I were a Cardinals fan. I wouldn't worry about him, you know, missing games or anything. I mean, who knows? Maybe it flares up again, but he's on medication now. I saw him yesterday for a half hour or so, and he seems fine. I mean, he's the same Arians. There's no...
Yeah.
sign that he wasn't well. So I think probably, you know, in the 2 weeks between now and opening night, he'll probably be able to get a handle on it.
From what you've seen out of the Cardinals, and it is a team, I think, I'm putting words on you, that you do know better than a lot of people. What should concern Cardinal fans, Peter?
I think it's going to be... I was thinking about this yesterday and none occurred to me. There's a very good chance that they'll have the best collection of skill players in football.
Mm.
And that is even without, you know, an all pro caliber tight end. I mean, but they have so many talented players. And when I talked to Carson Palmer yesterday, I mean, he would have talked for an hour about Jerron Brown. I mean, nobody is thinking about Jerron Brown. Maybe if you really follow the Cardinals closely, you are. But he's got so many offensive weapons. You know, his backfield, you know, think about it. A year ago, where this backfield was, everybody was hurt. They have to go out and they sign Chris Johnson. And then they had to plug in different guys the entire year.
Right.
And so, to me, I think that their skill players on offense are terrific. Now, again, it's always a question. And look, believe me, the Arizona Cardinals aren't the only ones who are saying, man, I hope our line holds up, and I hope our line protects Carson and all that stuff. I swear, I've been 21 places now. I've actually been to 20 places. Been to 20 places and seen a total of 24 teams. But I think... more than anything else, usually people are always talking about corners,
mm-hmm.
and boy, we wish we had another corner. This year, it's on the offensive line, and you know, everywhere around the country, that's what I'm hearing people say, that they're really worried about their offensive line.
Tyrann Mathieu being back on the field yesterday, very good news for the Cardinals. Should they bring him along slowly, carefully, even with the start of the season with New England?
Well, I mean, Arians basically has such confidence in his medical staff. He knows that they are not going to let Mathieu do anything before he's ready to do it. And I know that that sounds like that sounds too easy, but look, Matthew is, it's not like he's going out there. Like yesterday, Arians told me and Jenny Varentis of our staff before practice that he didn't think that he'd be working in the 11 on 11 or anything like that. But he did. And that didn't say anything to me other than, I mean, it's not like they got shoulder pads on and they're out beating the crap out of each other.
Right,
they're not.
Right.
They're just running around. They're not, it's not like, the bottom line is bring them along slowly is what players do now these days in training camp anyway. I think the real question right now, the real question is a simple one. And that is, will he play in preseason week 3 or 4? And let's say he plays a little bit. Okay. You know, okay, look, Tom Brady's not playing opening night, but that hardly matters.
Right.
This guy is a vital piece of the puzzle on their defense. And how ready is he going to be to play a Tyrann Mathieu kind of game? So I think that's the biggest question they have, and I don't know the answer to it.
You've been driving around the country and making lots of stops, planes, trains, automobiles. It's a lot of fun that you do this every year, and it's only grown as you've done the MMQB. I'm just curious, when you look at teams top to bottom, where would you put the Cardinals in terms of the upper echelon of the NFL from what you've already seen?
I would put them in the top somewhere between, you know, in the top, say, you know, no lower than 6 to 8.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who's ahead of them, Peter, that you've seen, do you think? Who's ahead of them?
I don't know that they're ahead of them, and that's why it's a hard thing to say. But like, I think the three best teams. Let's not include the Cardinals for a second.
Sure.
The three best teams I've seen so far are Pittsburgh, New England, and Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just tell you this: in my opinion, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be a really, really good team. The Cincinnati Bengals, by the way, are going to be a really, really good team with an asterisk. You know, we still have not seen Andy Dalton, you know, at the highest level of football play great. And so that obviously is something that we're going to have to see. And so, I mean, I think the Cardinals are right in there with all of those teams. But having said that, it's hard for me to say without the season starting who the best team is.
Yeah.
I really like the Seahawks when I was up there, especially because they believe that Jimmy Graham is going to be there right at the start of the season. So anyway, I hate to wimp out on you, but I think it's a difficult question to answer, especially when you don't have teams doing anything but being in self-preservation mode at this level of the off season.
That's a great way to put it, self-preservation mode. I look forward to having you on during the season, and you didn't wimp out today. It's fine. I mean, I'd push you on it, and you know, we'll just keep doing this, Peter. Appreciate the time.
Well, I'll have a better answer once I sit down, process everything, and we have a little and I have a little bit better perspective on things when we talk in a couple of weeks.
See you, Peter. Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
All the best. Thanks, Brad.
There's Peter King from the Cardinals, SI.com, senior NFL writer, the MMQB. Paula Bovin is next. News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Always good to catch up with Paula. That's on the other side about Lochte, the Diamondbacks. Dansby Swanson, who would have had that name on the tip of their tongue 6 months ago as a must-see moment tonight here in Arizona? Stay with us.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central sports columnist. She has been spending the weekend in San Diego watching some preseason football on Friday night. I don't know if I'd use Cactus League Baseball around the Padres and Diamondbacks, but you were around the team. Which is more interesting to you to talk about today? Today, not, you know, what's more in your wheelhouse today, Paula?
Well, I mean, I think the Diamondbacks situation getting kind of interesting because if we're to believe, and I don't know if you saw the Nightingale story.
Nightingale and Keith Law. Keith Law, too, I mean, just completely made them look like nincompoops down there, that they don't know what they're doing, that Ken is getting involved, that everything
right.
I mean, it's not, this is, I had somebody this morning who's been invested in the team for many, many years, not financially as a backer of the team, but somebody who's been there since day one. And this person sent me a text this morning. This is the darkest day in the history of the Diamondbacks today. Just how it's all gone. Yeah. And this is somebody that if I said their name, you'd know them.
Yeah.
So.
Those are two bad teams we were watching, and they lost three games to a really bad Padres team. And, you know, it's just so weird, Brad, because this is the most I've ever spent around this team in a long time. I don't usually make road trips with them.
Right.
But I was in that clubhouse for 4 days. You look around and you think, these are good, solid guys. They work hard. There's not a lot of friction in the clubhouse. It maybe is probably a little too vanilla, which might be part of the problem. But it's not, you know, you're around the team and you think, yeah, okay. So why are they such a disaster? You've got to take into account injuries, obviously, but it is head scratching. And, you know, people I haven't talked to, and I ran into somebody who used to be a pretty big baseball executive in Southern California at the Cardinals game.
Mm-hmm.
And he said a lot of teams would like that roster. So what does that tell you? I don't know what the answer is, Brad, other than there's obviously been, maybe there's leadership issues. Maybe there are, you know, obviously there's been some bad trades, but there's been some good trades. So it is really amazing.
Let's parcel this back a little bit. And we're talking with Paula Bovin. She's just with the Diamondbacks all weekend. So Ken Kendrick every summer goes up to Colorado. I have no problem with Ken Kendrick going to Colorado. Jerry Colangelo would go to Italy, and Jerry Colangelo would go up to Napa and just get out of Phoenix. That happens. But when things are as bad as they are, do you think having the owner show up at the facility and be at games home and road, sitting behind the dugout, sends a very, very strong message that, yeah, I can do this via conference call. I can do this via email, but this is my team that I own, and this is a train wreck. This is not the president of the team or Tony or Dave. This is the owner that needs to be more visible in the worst of times. It's easy when things are great, but when things are bad, I like Ken, but his tact is he's got Derek down here, and the thing is falling apart. It's just falling apart on all sides to me. Anything to that with Ken that you would like to see him more visible?
Well, I mean, the reality, and again, he's the owner. He gets to do what he wants, right? But it is, things have backfired with him in the past when he has made statements. He doesn't come across well. And I've dealt with him. He's very accommodating. He's a nice man. He's really a huge baseball fan. I think that's sort of underreported how much he cares about the game, and has, you know, a lot of his money has gone to pay for things and things like that. But when he has tried to be any kind of face of the franchise, it has backfired.
And I'm not saying I'm not saying he needs to be a face, Paul. I'm just saying, does he need to in this moment be here? That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying a face.
Well, okay. Yeah, well, I don't know if he needs to be here, but I think the team, I mean, they got to give fans something. They've got to kind of tell them where we're at. From everything I'm reading, it sounds like maybe they're torn about what to do with La Russa and Stewart. That's sort of the message of these stories. So maybe that's why we're not seeing them. But when they come to some kind of conclusion, they've just got to say, hey, we are behind these guys. It's only been 2 years. You know, that was Nightingale's kind of the angle of his story. If they had gotten rid of every GM in town, in the country after 2 years, you wouldn't see all these World Series champs, blah, blah, blah. If they say that, fine, you know, maybe there's backlash, but whatever. Or they've got to make a decision, and it sounds like whatever they're going to do is not going to happen until after the season. They've got to let us know. But I think fans just need to know about some vision or direction, you know.
Okay, so somebody, again, this is This was brought up to me this morning by one person, and I've had a couple of other people that have mentioned this to me. This team seems like they've accepted what's going on. A team will get a base hit, and we'll see Paul Goldschmidt over at first base laughing, joking with the guy. We'll see Gene Segura over at second base laughing, joking with the guy. I know it's baseball. I know that there's a part of being into it, but I haven't seen grit, real grit, out of this team this year in many big ways, shapes, or forms. And I know that's Goldschmidt's personality, Paula, but it's not a good look. And to your point earlier, you made the comment, the clubhouse is vanilla, maybe a little too vanilla. I think there is something to that with this team.
Yeah, I definitely think they're, you know, and when you talk about grit, I mean, that was all AJ Pollock too, right? When you saw him on the field, you kind of felt like, ah, there's the personality of this team. And I don't think these guys aren't playing hard or trying hard, but you're right. I mean, you're not necessarily getting that feeling. And I think that kind of goes back to clubhouse leadership. Good group of guys, but sometimes you need someone in there. And I've talked to some sort of, you know, guys who have been around this club a long time who said that bothers them a little bit, that they don't feel like there's a strong personality in that clubhouse. And maybe that's the biggest missing piece of what's happening with this club right now.
Let's switch gears. Ryan Lochte, have you had time to pay attention to this much? Has this been anything to you?
Yeah, I'm tired of it. I feel like a lot of people are, but I mean, it is a storyline, and I think, you know, it is what happens in today's media. Understandably, it gets covered from a lot of angles, and it was good because the truth eventually came out because of aggressive reporting. But the volume of the reporting, for me anyway, it has now become a bigger story than it deserves. I mean, the thing that always gets me is this guy's 32. Now, come on, he's not like he's 21 or whatever. This kid is, or 18, he's 32 and he made this decision. And he was stupid, and he was exaggerated, and it snowballed. And that was dumb, and that was bad. And is it as bad as it's become in the coverage because of the volume of coverage? I don't think so. I don't think so. There's people doing a far less worse things. I mean, he was an idiot, but...
Well, if his mom doesn't confirm to Billy Bush, and if Billy Bush actually does some journalism, the story's over by Sunday of last week. Instead, we had Lester Holt leading with it Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. We started having Brazilian officials Thursday say, no, this story's not true. By Friday, it comes out, yeah, I exaggerated. He bolted the country and left the other three behind. By Saturday, he's doing mea culpas with Matt Lauer. And, you know, you have people like Al Roker, of all people, yelling and screaming at his coworker on the set about... No, he lied to you. And so I look at NBC because this is their show. This is their network. I look at the news side of it. They had a reporter Thursday night saying that Ryan Lochte did a brave thing by standing up to somebody with a gun to his head. Thursday night, five nights later. So there's a little bit of, a little bit of let's learn something from this that be right, not first. Be right, not first. And And so this thing is just snowballed into, like, I agree with you. This has been a much bigger story than it needed to be, but when you peel it back, it deserves being talked about and vetted out. It's a very, very interesting case study, and now he's lost Speedo today. He's lost Ralph Lauren today. He's going to lose everything. He's going to show up on The View wearing a pink sweater and begging for forgiveness. He's going to show up on Ellen trying somehow, some way to get anybody to like him again, and he'll probably end up on The Bachelorette. It'll be great. You know, that's how it's going.
Yeah, he'll spin it into a new career.
Seriously.
Right. You know, you do bring up an interesting angle about the media angle of it and the rush to report first. What happens in the Twitter universe? You want to post something at 140 characters or less.
Yep.
You know, it is today's media, unfortunately, and it got wrong. And, you know, I'm glad some of this is being exposed, whether it's sort of Billy Bush or whether it's people responding in the wrong way. It's sort of the secondary storyline of it, but it's worth examining. There's no question about it. I guess I'm just sort of done with the story.
Okay,
frankly,
I'll let you go off this 30 seconds. What did you like most about the Olympics? What didn't you like most about the Olympics?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I love track and field, so just the track and field aspect of it. I didn't like the ugliness that came out of, you know, some of the sexism that was a kind of repeated storylines, whether it was things that announcers were saying, how stories were being reported, things like that. I like it in the sense that it triggered discussion, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of people feel like it's overreaction, and I understand that, but when you're in an age of transition like where we are, where, you know, female athletes are still bombarded with pejoratives and people make light of the WNBA, it's okay that we're hypersensitive. So I didn't like all the stuff I heard, but I'm at least happy about the discussion of it.
Be well. Talk soon. Thanks.
Okay. Mm-hmm, Brad.
There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. Always good to catch up with Paula every Monday. There's a few other things that are bumping around in my mind this morning I want to get to on the other side. What was my highlight? Eric, you got to have your highlight, low light, all that stuff. We'll get to that on the other side. Team USA basketball is unwatchable. We'll explain that straight ahead, too. Stay with us. Did you watch the Team USA game yesterday?
I did. I saw most of it. Didn't see all of it.
What do you think?
I don't know. I'm not as critical of them as you are, but it was a pretty bad, one-sided, ugly game.
Serbia led early.
Yeah, but
I know, I know.
Like, it was like, what, 10-8 or something like that?
14-12.
They lost by 40-some-odd points, yeah. So I don't really dictate a basketball game by what happens in the first 3 minutes of it.
Well, I do. I look at the starting five of the USA versus the next five that came in.
Mm-hmm.
Starting five was horrendous, in my view. It was a lot of pounding nails, I'll call it, with Carmelo Anthony, which Kevin Durant was played into the game himself.
Yep.
But I thought the other four that were out there to start the game, it didn't do anything for me. It just didn't do anything for me. And I was really surprised. Marv Albert and Doug Collins were as critical as they were on the air about the way that the USA had played. When Marv Albert said, just quote, the USA has not played well this Olympic Games, he was being kind. Again, we're going to drill teams. We're going to beat teams up. I thought Australia would have given them a better game than Serbia. But you weren't that disappointed, huh?
No, because at the end of the day, they won the gold medal. And in 4 years from now, we're not going to remember the close games. We're going to remember the gold medal. Now, if they would have lost yesterday, we would have remembered that game. We would not have remembered all the other things.
But is it all about wins and losses for you?
For basketball, yes.
So it's not about how they get the win. It's not about what the struggle they've got to go through, whether it was artistic or not, whether it was good basketball.
We claim to be the best country, we claim to be the best in basketball. Every time the Olympics come around, we need to win the gold medal.
See, I look at it differently. I look at the quality of basketball. I saw a lot of running, one-handed, jacked up shots. Durant hits some threes, it's fine. But I didn't see much offense. And in fact, if we didn't have size, like DeMarcus Cousins has shed weight. He looks a lot slimmer. He looks better. If he gets his head right, yeah, he could be a great player.
Well, and Team USA is just so much more athletic than these other countries.
Yeah, but athleticism,
so they can fall back on that. And that's not any fault of their own. No. Were the games pretty to watch at times? Absolutely not. Not even close.
That's my thing. Is if we're going to be the best at what we do, I don't want to be the best at what we do and suck at doing it. Okay? We've been a lot better at playing basketball. They had one stretch where Doug and Marv, this was towards the end of the first half, where there were like four really quick chest passes, bounce passes, which led to an easy shot, and which was the way the game was meant to be played. This will sound like old man get off my lawn, but really that's not how basketball is meant. When a guy dribbles down 1-on-4 and throws up something where he's hanging in the air with nobody around him, like that's not basketball.
And that's part of the problem that Charles Barkley brought up with you last week. This team did not have good role players that put team before me.
I just think I'd rather see the college players. I don't care if we lose. I really don't care. I didn't feel a point of pride and wrap myself in a flag yesterday and say, hey, I am so proud of the USA because we won the game. I just look at X's and O's. Like Serbia did run some offense. Serbia did make the extra pass. Yeah, the athleticism of the USA, they couldn't do that, but at least there was like, that's a motion offense. What do you know? Hey, they're actually switching on defense. They're trying the best they can. They don't have enough talent.
If you ever wrap yourself in a flag, could you send me a picture of that? I'd love to see that.
Look, I'm as
I see your point, Brad. I'm not trying. We're in a way, we're sort of splitting hairs here. I mean, was it aesthetically beautiful? Did they play team basketball? No, but they won the gold medal. And in the end, to me, that's the most important thing, especially in a sport where we have been known to dominate like basketball.
Do you think my question about Usain Bolt to Peter was dumb?
No.
I was just kind of like thinking back on today's show a little bit.
No. Because look at the NFL. What does the NFL love to do? Two things. They love fast players, and they love to throw the football all over the field.
You remember Ronaldo Nehemiah?
I was young, so not really. I just remember the name.
He was fast. Couldn't do anything else. We won a title yesterday. I should have put a picture in the file for today's show. So I coached out at the arena yesterday for 11- and 12-year-olds, my son's team. And the Suns do a really nice job of opening up their arena for these games to be played. There's a whole bunch of them. And I got 11 and 12-year-olds that were using the Suns practice court for an hour yesterday before the game. And then they go out on the big court, and the scoreboard's there, and it's all lit up and all that stuff. And you end up winning that. So, you know I'm critical of the Suns and the owner and how he's taken this thing and where it is now. The other side of it is you see the community relations people, and it's really well done, really well done stuff. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out at Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. High school, college, pro, makes no difference to me. Let's go tell a story. We do things a little differently. We're the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart, as I like to say, which is sports media. We have our football show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ, which will debut this Wednesday night on Fox Sports Arizona. It'll have many, 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 many plays on it. The show repeats on Sports360AZ.com and AZ Central Sports. Thanks for being with us.